The Money Show.
Business books.
I must confess, I've not been able to lay my hands on 20 Habits That Break Bad Habits. Growing Greatness by Pepe Marais. I usually insist on getting and scouring books first before talking to authors, but I figured you needed some of Pepe Marais' infectious enthusiasm for life more than I needed to see the book. Because Pepe Marais, I've been stalking you online and you've been, I want to say, lockdowning by a river somewhere. You seem to have had a good lockdown.
Bruce, I'm always very conscious to how I answer that, you know, because I'm aware of a lot of people in our country struggling. But
of course,
but we've been very blessed. That's all I'm going to say. Extremely blessed in business, extremely blessed in our personal lives. So I'm just grateful and I'm very happy to be alive in this very challenging time.
Blessed in business is surprising, considering that in the world where consumer goods have not been moving to the extent that they perhaps were 12 months ago, where the world of advertising is that much more cutthroat and competitive, one would think that you would have come up against a lot of barriers over the last 8 or 9 months.
Yeah, and funny enough, you know, in the beginning, I was actually quite stressed myself. I know my partner, Gareth, and our other partners, everyone was quite stressed. You know, in advertising, we always feel the pinch first. And then very quickly, I actually wrote a chapter on that because I wrote this book in lockdown. And I wrote a chapter on that to focus on what I can control because nothing was within my own personal control. And I realized, well, just focus on what I can control, which is the caliber of our response to our clients' need. In terms of speed, as it turned out in lockdown, and in terms of our excellence that we strive for in everything that we do for them. And I think somehow that has held us firm this year. And we've actually increased our output over the last 9 months. So it's been a phenomenal year for us.
Did the book start as a personal project in order, so I don't know, personal therapy perhaps, to say, geez, I need some hope here, so let me think about this? Or did you start with the end in mind of publishing another book to really challenge people's perspectives and the way we all think?
Yeah, so it actually started as an idea last year in June, which I had on what it felt like my deathbed, but I had man flu, and you know, as
men, oh, geez, you poor thing, I'm so
really
sorry.
Bad.
I'm glad you survived.
Little did I know, 6 months later, the worst flu we've ever experienced will hit us. But back then, it felt bad, and I was lying in my bed. I was also writing my first exam in 30 years because I'm studying towards an MBA at the moment. So I was on my back, and I had an idea to do a book on habits because it's something I've been working on very hard for 13 years of my life to change, and I don't call them good or bad, but to change from limiting habits to liberating habits. And that has really changed my sort of life, and I wanted to share it with people. And I sent the idea to my publisher, and she said, well, let's go for it. And now book number two is done. And it's on shelves, and now I'm waiting to hear. I've had two responses so far, so it sounds like it's quite enjoyable, but time will tell.
No, absolutely. I mean, your first book took the world by storm. People absolutely loved it. And I remember you talking at the time about how you decided to give up drinking. And you just went, you know what, if I spend, you know, an hour a night or 2 hours a night having a glass or two of wine, that writes off my evenings. It costs me not, you know, the hangover in the morning. That's fine. It actually costs me valuable time. And I don't have that much time on this planet. So therefore, that time must count. If I'm wasting it sort of inebriating myself, then I'm wasting time. And I think that was probably one of the habits.
And that's indeed one of them. Now, I am an extremist. So I am black and white. So I do swing, the pendulum swings very far with me from one. So I'm not necessarily advocating that people stop drinking, as I have for 13 years now. But I did share that in the book because I'm writing my books more for our greater population. You know, that's why in the first one I came from a point of view to share my own struggles, because I wanted to show people that, you know, when you have struggles, you can overcome it. And we are all, you know, we might not all be born equally or in equal situations, but our potential is completely equal in my book. So this is another one of my endeavors to just give people hope and towards a greater life, which I think we all deserve. And we have got our fair share of challenges. But I did write on changing wine for water, I called it. And I did the math on how much money I've saved in 14 years. And it's quite an obscene amount.
How much? How much have you saved?
More important, So I saved 700,000 rand so far. Now, you know, in today's day, where 78% of people can't retire, that 700,000 rand will double by itself in the next, let's say, 7 years if I had to get 10% on it year on year, which we don't get at the moment, but let's say I did. So that will be 1.4 and then 2.8 and then 5.6 million, you know. So it just shows how much money you can actually save, which is another chapter I wrote on, is saving, you know, instead of spending, which are things that I think is needed in our country. But I didn't make it as serious as the first Growing Greatness. It's a bit more lighthearted. It's much thinner. It's a quick read. And yeah, so I thought I'd put it out there and see how it does.
I mean, again, it's what's happened to the 700,000 rand, I suppose, is the rude question. To say, yes, okay, so you spent 700,000 rand less on, you know, stuff that you poured down your throat, but did the 700,000 rand end up in investments, or did it just find another path to being spent? Did you have that discipline?
Yeah, good question. I'm very you know, people always say I'm extremely disciplined. I'm just very systematic and systems driven. I think without my systems, I won't be disciplined, but I save that money and more. So the thing is, and that's another chapter, this thing on, we think we can't save because we know things are tight. But when you really start looking at what we're spending on, we tend to overspend, you know, and me coming from, you know, lesser means than most white South Africans, because I'm very conscious also of our situation, of our broader population. But I know where I come from, and it is possible to save. It really is. And that was another chapter of mine. So it's quite broad, you know, 20 different habits that break habits. And then interestingly, there was a little bit of methodology because I interviewed 20 smokers, and I timed their smoking speed and their reading speed. And I then worked out the length per chapter to write bespoke to each of them. And I interviewed them to find out what their limiting habits are. So it's a whole social experiment, which makes it quite interesting, I hope, for readers. But not one of them said that smoking is a limiting habit. And that I found interesting, because we've got so many more habits that are deeper and more limiting.
Sure. So, but here's the point. I mean, and habits are learned. I mean, we learn our habits. We fall into the trap of bad habits. And so I think, therefore, your logic is, if you can learn bad habits, you can unlearn bad habits, and therefore you can learn better habits.
100%. Absolutely spot on. They are all learned. We pick them up from when we come into this world. They go into us so quickly. Our eating habits, the drinking habits, you know, I come from where I saw my parents, so I grew up to be like my parents, et cetera, et cetera. Sleeping habits, another one, you know, a big one. So the thing about stepping in or speaking negatively in our own minds to ourselves, or not feeling good enough, imposter syndrome, a massive one in all of us, you know, not just in Black South Africans, which is coming up quite a lot, but in all of us. And so I wrote on all these things I struggled with, and I put my heart out there, and I'm very sort of transparent again. and with the endeavor to just see if I can offer people some help. And always I help myself when I write these self-help books.
What have you learned? What's the one thing in writing this book that you learned about Pepe? Where was the therapy for you?
Judgment. And also lack of enough love. So, I think because of my rough childhood environment, empathy is quite low in my being. You know, I'm not empathetic enough. I can be very hard and ruthless. I can be very scathing in the words that I use to people, always with a good intention. But that does not grow people, which is ultimately my purpose. So that's something that came up for me very strongly, and I had a good time to reflect on that learning out of my own book. So when I write this, I'm not so arrogant to think, here's my gift to the world. It's part of my process to becoming a better person in myself.
Has it worked?
I think it has. I mean, you should ask my work wife, Gareth, or some of my partners. I'm hoping they see a little bit of a change in me. I'm a big one on self-growth. I want to be every day better than the previous day. So I would like to think there's been a bit of a shift.
Pepe Marais, lovely talking to you again. Thank you so much. If you don't follow Pepe Marais on social media, the last time I spoke to Pepe, I said I was too annoyed by his upbeat cheerfulness every single day. Then I committed to refollowing. I did, and I still do. And I'm uplifted by what I see Pepe Marais posting on social media. No doubt the book, 20 Habits That Break Habits, Growing Greatness, of course, the next in, there has to be a series now because it's number 2 by Pepe Marais.